Will you turn in your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 18? Our passage today is going to be Luke 18, 35. That's page 878 if you're using the black Bibles there. Luke chapter 18, verse 35, page 878. While you're finding that, just pass on just a couple of quick announcements. Our Wednesday evening study through Deuteronomy has concluded. So we won't be meeting for the next several Wednesdays, so stay tuned for when we start that up again, but just wanted you to be aware of that so you don't come expecting a study. And then just to let you know, and we certainly covet your prayers, tomorrow I leave for the FIRE National Conference. FIRE is the Fellowship of Churches that we belong to. On the prayer sheet, Then down at the bottom, it lists as a prayer request rather than listing a specific church this week. It lists the conference, so there you can see the speakers there and what the theme is. So I'll have the privilege of representing us there at that conference. And then also then tomorrow while I'm at the conference, my family begins driving out east because after the conference we're going to go on vacation. So I'm going to meet up with them after the conference. So please pray for Melissa as she drives that by herself. We look forward to spending some time with family. So I'll be gone for a couple of weeks. Just wanted you to be aware of that. But Pastor David's going to bring the word to you next week, so we're thankful for that. Luke chapter 18. Will you stand, please, as we read the passage that we want to consider this morning, just in honor of God's word? Luke 18, 35. As he drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Thanks be to God for his word. Be seated, please. Our text today records the account of Jesus healing a blind man. And the healing of this blind man provides a good picture for us of what happens to each person whom God saves. And so therefore, the title of the sermon this morning is Delivered from Darkness. As we study this passage this morning, I want us to consider what it's like to be delivered from darkness. And I want us to observe how this healing serves as a model of our salvation. So I organized the sermon around three points that describe a person's salvation experience. First, though, verse 35 sets the scene for this account. Again, I read verse 35. As he, Jesus, drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. Now, Luke has told us that Jesus has set his face toward Jerusalem, and he's marching there undeterred. In Jerusalem, he's going to die in the place of sinners and 3 days later rise from the dead. That was what our passage was last week as he again tried to prepare his disciples for that. So now as we're to the point of the Gospel of Luke where we're really approaching the final leg of that journey. Jesus now is coming upon Jericho, a town which is about 18 miles northeast of Jerusalem. And so Luke records in verse 35 that there's a blind man sitting by the roadside begging. And the gospel writer Mark, in his account of this event, tells us that this blind man's name was Bartimaeus. So I'll be referring to him by name often in the sermon today. No doubt this blind man had sat by the roadside many times begging, depending on the compassion of passerbys to give him some food or a little money to buy food. And so this blind man knew the normal amount of foot traffic, right? I'm sure he was used to the normal sounds that would take place on a day there by the roadside, and especially the traffic going in and out of a small city like Jericho. But today, the day that we're reading about here in Luke 18, something was different. He heard a large crowd of people coming all at once, and they all seemed to be following someone and talking about someone. So we see now in verse 36 that he asked someone, what's going on? Why all the commotion, right? Verse 36, hearing a crowd go by, he inquired what this meant. What is all this I hear? And so verse 37, they told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Bartimaeus had probably heard reports of Jesus of Nazareth. Matter of fact, evidently he had. He had no doubt heard of Jesus' powerful teaching, of Jesus' authority over demons, of Jesus' miraculous healings. Yes, Jesus' healings. People say that Jesus has made the deaf hear. He's made the mute speak. He's made the lame to walk. And even the blind to see. And so can you imagine what Bartimaeus is thinking? Jesus could heal me. Jesus could make me see. Bartimaeus knew about Jesus. In fact, we'll see that he already held some convictions about Jesus, about who Jesus is. So learning now that Jesus was passing by right in front of him prompted Bartimaeus to take action. And that leads me to point number one as we consider our theme of delivered from darkness. Point number one is a cry of faith. A cry of faith. We're going to see later Jesus commend Bartimaeus for his faith. So what he's doing right here is a picture of faith for us. He's a model of faith. Verse 38, and he cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So there's Bartimaeus sitting there, not able to see anything, but he knows that Jesus is somewhere in front of him, in front of this crowd of people that's passing by. And so he calls out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And notice, this is important, how he addressed Jesus. He had been told that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, but Bartimaeus addresses him as Jesus, Son of David. And that's significant because God had promised King David, back in the Old Testament, we can read about this covenant in 2 Samuel 7, where God promised David that one of his sons, one of his descendants, would be a king and would rule forever. And so the Jews were waiting with expectancy for this promised king, this Messiah, the anointed one, who would come and rescue them from their enemies and reign in righteousness forever. He'd be like a king like David, but even better, a king that reigns perfectly in righteousness and perfectly delivers, perfectly rules. So the promise was that when the Messiah came, he would be a descendant of David as a fulfillment of this covenant that God had made with David. So they, as the Jews were expecting this Messiah, they would refer to him as a son of David. And so when Bartimaeus addresses Jesus as Son of David, Bartimaeus is expressing belief that Jesus is the promised Messiah. You see, he didn't just, as it seems some others in the gospel, he didn't just view Jesus as a miracle worker, as someone, maybe a special prophet through whom God was working. No, he saw Jesus as more than that. He recognized that Jesus is the promised Messiah who had come to save and to help his people. And of course, we know from reading even what Jesus has just been trying to explain to his disciples and from us reading the New Testament, the way Jesus would save his people. The way what he would save them from was from sin and eternal death. And the way he would save them was by suffering and dying in their place as a sacrifice for their sins. And again, that's why Jesus was explaining to his disciples why they were going to Jerusalem. This is the first time in Luke's gospel that someone has called Jesus the Son of David. We, as readers of the gospel, we've already been alerted to the fact that Jesus is the Messiah. I mean, that was way back in Jesus' birth. Luke was talking about that as the angels pointed to the fact that Jesus was being born in the city of David. And you had some other people early on in Jesus' life make reference to this. But now here, for the first time, we have someone actually confess that Jesus is the Son of David, that he is the promised king. the one who is fulfilling that covenant made with David all those years ago. So Bartimaeus has cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." No doubt he's wanting to be healed, right? I mean, that's obvious. But I think he's calling out for even more than that. In crying out for mercy, Bartimaeus is requesting compassion and healing, but he's also alluding to his need for the forgiveness of sins. In Psalm 51, when David, many of us know Psalm 51, that psalm where David is confessing his sins, where he's pleading for forgiveness. In verse 1 of Psalm 51, David says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions." It's the same word that Bartimaeus is calling out to Jesus now. By God's grace, it seems that Bartimaeus has put some pieces together about Jesus. He's been connecting the dots. He knows that Jesus has the power to heal, and he believes that Jesus is the promised Messiah. And he seems to have some notion that Jesus' kingdom will be a kingdom of mercy, and he knows that he's in need of mercy. It's ironic, isn't it, that at this point, and again, we know it's by God's grace, but at this point, Bartimaeus seems to understand just as much, if not more, than the disciples did, right? Because remember how our passage ended last week, where Jesus is telling the disciples what he's going to take place in Jerusalem, and they did not understand. It was being hidden from them at that time. So Bartimaeus is looking to Jesus as the Messiah who brings healing and wholeness, not just a conqueror, but a helper. And so Bartimaeus' cry for mercy, we see in verse 39, has drawn a reaction from the crowd that's with him, around him, maybe even the crowd that's with Jesus. Those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent, right? They're probably annoyed by this blind beggar shouting. You know, maybe Jesus was teaching as they walked along, and Bartimaeus was keeping them from hearing that, or maybe, and we hope not, right? But maybe it was the 12 disciples who were rebuking Bartimaeus, right? Maybe they were making a similar mistake they had made earlier about the children who were wanting to come to Jesus, and they're thinking, oh, Jesus doesn't have time for these kids. Jesus doesn't have time for this blind beggar, right? We've got important things to do. We don't know exactly who it was, but people were rebuking Bartimaeus, telling him to be silent. So what would he do, right? Well, we see what he does in verse 39. He cries out all the more, it says, "Son of David, have mercy on me." The picture is he keeps crying out louder and more often, persistently. Many people, it says, were telling Bartimaeus to be quiet, but nothing can silence him. In fact, the opposition only seems to fan the flame of his persistence. So picture that scene, this blind beggar saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Be quiet. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Be quiet. Be silent. Get out of here. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Well, someone shut him up. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Crying out to Jesus. Bartimaeus is desperate. Why is he so desperate? Well, he knows that he's in great need, and he believes that Jesus is the only one who can meet that need. I mean, if someone is coming by tomorrow down the road who can heal him, who can rescue him, then okay, fine, we can let it go, right? We'll give in to the wishes of the crowd. But since Bartimaeus believes that Jesus is the only one who can help him, and this might be his only encounter with Jesus, he will not be stopped. He will cry out. He is desperate. This is a desperate cry of faith. And again, in a couple of verses, Jesus will commend Bartimaeus for his faith that has made him well. And we'll talk about how that means this is a picture of saving faith, the kind of faith that leads to salvation. By God's grace, Bartimaeus believed Jesus to be who he claimed to be, right? It's worth our time if whenever Jesus is commending someone for their faith, right? I think it's worth our attention, right? Well, what did they do? What was it about their actions that represent faith? Well, Bartimaeus believed Jesus to be who Jesus had claimed to be. He believed him to be the Messiah. Bartimaeus saw his desperate need, and he knew that he was unable to help himself. You see how this is a picture of what we all need in order to be saved? Bartimaeus saw his desperate need and knew he was unable to help himself. Bartimaeus recognized that Jesus alone could meet that need because he believed that Jesus was who he claimed to be. So Bartimaeus then cried out to Jesus for mercy, confessing Jesus as the Son of David, or as we would say, confessing Jesus as Savior and Lord, despite what others around him might think or were doing to him. Wow, what a picture. That's a good model of faith that leads to salvation. And Jesus certainly thinks so. Undeterred by the crowd, Bartimaeus continued shouting, determined to get Jesus' attention, which leads us then to point number two, a merciful and powerful deliverance. A merciful and powerful deliverance. Look at verse 40. And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. Let's just pause right there for a minute. Don't you love how verse 40 begins? And Jesus stopped. Right? Do you see the picture? Jesus is passing by. There's a crowd passing by. Blind beggar on the side. Lots of people. Easy to just kind of ignore this guy. He's crying out. People are telling him to be quiet. But Jesus stopped. Jesus did not ignore his cry. Jesus did not tell him to be quiet. Jesus did not just kind of give him a token blessing as he kept on moving. No, Jesus stopped, and he's going to meet with the man. Here, and this is even more amazing as we try to think about where Jesus is at in his life. Jesus is literally just days away from the cross. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem to suffer and die in the place of sinners. So Jesus could have reasoned, I would think, as a sinful human, right? If he thought like us, which clearly he doesn't, but he could have reasoned, you know, I have enough on my plate right now. I'm headed toward Jerusalem. I'm going to suffer and die in the place of sinners. But Jesus, no, he has compassion. He always had time for those who are crying out to him in faith. Jesus never ignores the cry of faith. So Jesus stopped, and the text says he commanded Bartimaeus to be brought to him. So that's kind of telling too, isn't it? We see this at different accounts in the Bible. Perhaps the very same people who had been telling Bartimaeus to be silent, now they're the ones, okay, fine, right? Master says, come. Take heart, come, one of the Gospels says. He's calling you. So it's a lesson for them too, right? Jesus is once again showing that he is a compassionate king who has time for those who the rest of the society would marginalize. But he's also again showing, just as he did with the children, it's not just about compassion, although that's true, but he's about his Father's business. He's about bringing in the kingdom of God. He's about saving those who realize they're lost. And so when Bartimaeus came near, Jesus asked him in verse 41, "What do you want me to do for you?" Now Jesus knew what Bartimaeus wanted, right? But Jesus asked, he asked because he wanted to hear Bartimaeus ask. He wanted to hear Bartimaeus express his faith explicitly. We see this at different times in Scripture where God or God the Father or Jesus drawing out people's confession of faith. So the blind man replies, "Lord, let me recover my sight." Now, Lord was a title of respect back then, but when you put it all together, given the fact that Bartimaeus has already confessed Jesus as the Son of David, I think it's fair to safely assume that Bartimaeus means more than just respect. This is the vocabulary of the exalted Lord. Bartimaeus believes that Jesus is the Messiah, the exalted Savior. Bartimaeus acknowledged Jesus as the one who could make the blind to see. And we're going to see in a moment that was another indicator, another characteristic of the Messiah, that he makes the blind to see. So Bartimaeus is demonstrating faith in the gracious mercy of Jesus and his power to heal. "Lord," he says, "let me recover my sight. Be merciful," as you put it all together, "be merciful to me, Jesus." I want to see. Verse 42, and Jesus said to him, and Jesus uses the same words back to him that he's been using, recover your sight. Your faith has made you well. Now, we've seen Jesus use that expression, made you well, several times in Luke. And so maybe you remember me explaining that the word well is the word the Bible uses to describe salvation. So not only has Bartimaeus been healed from blindness, but he's been saved from his sins. And that's going to become even more clear in the last verse. Jesus publicly commends Bartimaeus' faith. He says, your faith has made you well. Bartimaeus' healing is a picture of salvation, and Bartimaeus provides an important model of faith that leads to salvation. Now, understand what I mean by that, right? Bartimaeus did not heal himself. Bartimaeus did not save himself. Jesus healed him. Jesus saved him. But Bartimaeus' faith is the means by which he received the saving power of Jesus. We are saved by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in the finished work of Christ alone. And faith is the means by which God's saving grace flows to us. We contribute nothing to our salvation because the Bible teaches us that even our faith is a gift of God. So I know I've been maybe going on a little bit about Bartimaeus, but I'm not here to exalt Bartimaeus to you. I'm here to exalt the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the saving grace of God our Father. So Christ powerfully removed the physical blindness from Bartimaeus in verse 43. But God's grace had already, it's clear, isn't it, in this account? Yes, he gets healed of his physical blindness down here in verse 43. But God's grace had already been at work in Bartimaeus, removing his spiritual blindness, which is what enabled him to confess Jesus as the promised Messiah. Earlier in the Gospels, when Peter confesses Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, remember what Jesus says in reply to him after he makes that great confession? He says, Peter, you are blessed. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who's in heaven. He's saying, you're right, Peter, in what you just said. I am the Messiah. I am the Son of the living God. But don't go patting yourself on the back, because the only reason you're able to say that is because my Father has revealed it to you. He has powerfully worked in your heart, removing that spiritual blindness from your eyes. And this is exactly what had happened then to Bartimaeus, right? He's been healed of two different kinds of blindness. He was healed of his spiritual blindness, which enabled him to confess Jesus. And then Jesus heals him of his physical blindness. The Bible clearly says no one can confess that Jesus is Lord apart from the Spirit of God. That's how we know who has the Spirit of God dwelling inside them, is that they confess Jesus as Lord. By nature, we are blinded to see the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Remember the passage we began with our service with this morning, 2 Corinthians 4. Talks about by nature that the God of, we're all born with the fact that the God of this world has blinded our hearts to keep us from seeing the light of the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But God, that passage goes on to say, God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So God, who is rich in mercy, removes the blindness from our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit, enabling us to see our sin, enabling us to believe that Jesus is the only one who can save us from our sins, and then giving us the faith to cry out, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Save me from the wrath of God that I deserve. Lord Jesus, take away my sins. Lord Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner. So Bartimaeus' story is all of our stories, because this is how we've been saved, because God has powerfully and graciously remove the blindness from our eyes, enabling us to cry out, and then Jesus has cleansed us from our sins. So Bartimaeus cried out for mercy, and Jesus showed him mercy. Again, Jesus promises in the Gospels that he never turns away from anyone who comes to him in faith and repentance. So let's look at verse 43 then. Immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. I'll come back to Bartimaeus, but let's talk about that. When all the people saw it, they gave praise to God. When all the people saw Jesus give sight to this blind man, they're praising God. I mean, not only because this was another display of compassion and power, but this was a clear sign that Jesus was the promised Messiah. What Bartimaeus had just been saying was just proven true yet again. Remember back in Luke 4 when Jesus began his public ministry at the synagogue service there in Nazareth. When Jesus gets up to read the scroll from the prophet Isaiah during the service there in the synagogue, Jesus read from a passage that described the coming Messiah. Remember that in Luke chapter 4, the account begins in verse 16. Verse 17 says, "He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written." Now here he's reading from Isaiah. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Remember what Jesus did after he read that? Luke tells us he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." So there, as he began his public ministry, he was saying, "I am the promised Messiah. I am the one who the Spirit of the Lord has anointed to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, to set free the captives." So recovery of sight to the blind was a distinguishing mark of the inbreaking of the kingdom of God brought in by the promised Messiah. So this miracle with Bartimaeus not only shows, yes, that Jesus is powerful, but it clearly sets him apart as the promised Messiah, the promised anointed king. He's doing the very things that the Messiah was supposed to be doing. So when the people see Jesus healing Bartimaeus, they're praising God because the long-awaited Messiah has come. The year of the Lord's favor was here. The Messiah was setting captives free. He had come to deliver his people. And again, we know Jesus had come to deliver his people from sin and death, which is why Jesus was going to Jerusalem to die and rise again. But for us this morning now, I want us to look back on verse 43 and focus on the change that this miracle brought to Bartimaeus, which leads me to the third and final point, a brand new life. I mean, think about Bartimaeus. He has just been completely transformed by Jesus. Verse 43 gives three ways in which his life has been transformed. He recovered his sight, he followed Jesus, and he glorified God. Bartimaeus has been given a brand new life. Jesus has transformed Bartimaeus from a beggar sitting beside the road to a disciple who's now following Jesus on the road. Now his life is committed to following Christ, and his life is centered now on praising God. I love that threefold description. Recovered his sight, followed Jesus, and glorified God. This is what it looks like when Jesus saves you. He recovered his sight. He once was blind, and now he could see. He was a brand new man, and when God saves us, it is a life-changing thing. We are transferred from the domain of darkness to the kingdom of his dear Son, to the kingdom of light. We're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We pass from death to life. We who were guilty before God are now declared righteous. Our sins are removed from us as far as the east is from the west. We're set free from slavery to sin. We become new creations. We're transformed, just like this man was transformed. Bartimaeus no longer lives in darkness, but now he lives in the light. He himself has become light. He would no longer be living like a blind beggar. Now he could see, and now he was following Jesus. He once was blind, but now he sees. And that describes us who've been saved as well. Once we were blind to the depths of our sin, Once we were blind to the glory of Jesus Christ, once we were blind to the priority of God's kingdom, once we were blind to the fact that we exist to bring glory to God, we once were blind to those truths. But now by God's grace, we see. We see those truths. Now we confess that Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords. Now we confess that Jesus is the only Savior, that we believe that Jesus Christ is the only name given among men by which we must be saved. Now we recognize that we are not to be living for ourselves. Rather, we are to live for Christ as we seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Oh, we used to follow the ways of the world, but now by God's grace, we follow Christ. When God saves a person, this is important for us to know. When God saves a person, He always calls that person into a life of discipleship. That's what it means to be saved, to become a follower of Christ. The Bible knows nothing of a person whom God saves who just continues to live for themselves, who just continues to live just like they were. Oh, now I just know I get to go to heaven. The Bible doesn't present that as even a possibility. When God saves a person, He transforms them. We are saved and brought into a lifelong relationship with Jesus. We're brought into a life of following Jesus. Jesus is our Lord. He is our King. He's our teacher. So we follow Him and seek to learn from Him in order to become like Him. He's our King, so we obey Him and live for His glory, pursuing His kingdom. He's our Savior, and so we live a life of faith in Christ. Through Jesus, our relationship with God has been completely changed. You want to talk about transformation, right? Becoming a brand new man. Through Jesus, our life, our relationship with God has been completely changed. Once we were God's enemy, but now we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we know that our sins are forgiven, and so we enjoy an intimate relationship with God, our Heavenly Father. Now we seek to glorify God in all that we do. So this morning, if you are still living in the darkness of sin and separation from God, then I would urge you to, from this account, to follow this example. Cry out to Jesus. Jesus alone is the one who can deliver you from darkness. He is the one who can cleanse you from your sin and give you the light of eternal life. Jesus said, and it's recorded for us in John 8:12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So if God this morning is showing you your great need for salvation, then cry out to Jesus. Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. This morning, Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Savior, is being proclaimed to you. Do not let Him pass by without you crying out for mercy. God has brought you to this place on this day to hear this message. And would you stay in darkness? No, cry out to God for mercy. Cry out to Jesus to save you from your sins. Fear and evil may try to shut you up, but by God's grace, cry out all the louder. Well, Jesus, risen Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. You can cry out to Him right from where you are. In your heart, cry out, "Jesus, risen Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Save me from my sins. I want to follow you." That's the cry of faith. And Jesus will hear and respond to the cry of faith. Whoever comes to Him in faith and repentance will never be turned away. Jesus Christ will save you. He will save you now, as you cry out to Him. And if I can help you explain that to you further after the service, please come see me. Believer, today, I pray that this account of the blind man reminds us of God's amazing grace shown to us. God has delivered us from darkness. No more bondage to sin. No longer headed for an eternity in outer darkness and gnashing of teeth. No more following the prince of the power of the air. No longer darkened in our understanding like those who don't know God. No more heeding the siren call of this fallen world. no longer caught in the deceit, shame, and secrecy of living in darkness. Why? Because of God's amazing grace shown to us through Jesus Christ. We who were living in darkness have seen a great light. We who were dwelling in the shadow of death, on us a light has dawned. Jesus Christ, the light of the world, has shone into our hearts, and he has rescued us. Jesus has called us to follow him. And now we walk in the light as he is in the light, and we have fellowship with one another and with God, in whom there is no darkness at all. God in his grace has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. So yes, we live in this dark world now. And yes, we still have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But one day we will be raised and we will reign with Jesus in the new heavens and the new earth. And there will be no lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be our light. So praise be to God our Father, who has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we do praise you this morning. You are a powerful and merciful God. Thank you for removing our blindness. Thank you for removing our dead hearts, and by your Spirit giving us the new birth. Thank you for shining in our hearts the light of the glory of the gospel in the face of Jesus Christ. Thank you for giving us the faith to cry out to him, for showing us our need, for showing us who Jesus is. Oh God, will you continue to do that even this morning to people in this room? Shine in their hearts, Father, in a powerful way. Bring life to them by your word, by your Spirit. And Father, help us now to follow you in obedience and truth. Help us to continue to walk in the light as our Savior Christ is in the light. And may his glorious light shine through us and be just flashing sign pointing people back to the beauty and the glory of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Will you stand, please? And I guess you could call this a benediction. It's another passage that the Bible's so rich with these pictures of darkness and light. And so I just want to read another passage to you again, reminding us of who we are in Christ. This is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Amen.